All right. Thank you, Brother Grant. And it is a joy to see all of you. It's been a while since Debbie and I have seen the kids. And I was here, I know, with Brother Tracy and Josh. We came, it's been a couple years ago now. But I enjoyed the fellowship that we had when we came then, and enjoyed the fellowship with the men we had out at the men's camp out retreat. That was a lot of fun, and enjoy getting to know some of you this morning, and hope to this afternoon and tonight. I do want you, if you can, come back tonight. And I got a message that I know this morning will help you, but also tonight will help you. And it'll help your perspective on things. And out of one of my favorite psalms, and really a psalm that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but I hope you can be back for that this evening. And also, as Grant said, my wife will be speaking at that Mother's Day event, and I hope you ladies can come and hear her. In fact, on the way here, she was preaching to me a little bit about what she was going to talk about. And I got a little excited, Brother Grant. I liked it, you know. And but I do. I hope you ladies can come back for that. And men, if you want to come and help us serve, I'm sure your pastor would like that to happen. I do have to say, regarding being from Tennessee, do we have any Florida Gator fans in here? What about Alabama Crimson Tide fans?
Why would we?
Amen. Just making sure. Because I've been up here. We've been up here 10 years, and they've tried to turn me into that cream and crimson of the Hoosiers. But it was funny. It was funny a while back when it was before Sophie was born, but somebody had bought her a little IU cheerleading outfit, and we'd put it in her closet. Like I say, this was before she was born, and I told a friend of mine the other day. I said, "Man," and I mean, I was a huge and still am a huge Tennessee Vol fan, and we'd go to all the games and all that. But I was telling this friend of mine in Tennessee, I said, "David, it didn't even feel right when I opened that closet and saw that cream and crimson little cheerleading outfit." And I said, it didn't feel right. So with that, I'm so glad my mom and dad, they came through with all kinds of Tennessee Vol, orange and white, and all kinds of just great Tennessee Vol stuff for little Sophie. So, and God willing, she will be here on that day. So, ladies, I know that Debbie would love for you to be here, but also I want you to meet Sophie. I'll say more about it tonight, but she definitely was an answer to prayer. That's for sure. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter number 90. Book of Psalms, chapter number 90. When we first moved up here, I'll never forget some people in our home church. At probably about the third or fourth Sunday, I remember a couple of them just coming up, and they were laughing about it, and they were just joking, and they said, "You know, you talk funny." And I remember looking at one of them, I said, "You know what? It's y'all that talk funny." And just joking with them, you know. But it's strange to me. It's amazing, really. You can go to different parts of our country, and people sound just foreign, don't they? And so I hope I don't sound foreign to you today. But until we moved up here, and, you know, and I went back down to Knoxville to see Mom and Dad. And, you know, I was up here for about a year and went back and saw them. And I actually heard the difference. And I heard what country people talk like. And what I was around for 30 years, and I guess it got to me. I don't know. But, yeah, maybe my language is foreign. I don't know. But I hope you can understand it this morning. Psalm 90. This is a beautiful psalm. A lot of people, scholars say it's the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And it was, if you notice, under in your Bible, of course, this is not the Word of God per se, but you see under maybe Psalm 90, you see a little inscription, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And that's what scholars believe this exactly was. Moses began talking about the unchanging God in verse 1 and 2, but then he talks about the frailty of man in verse 3 through 11. But I want to draw your attention to verse number 12. The Bible says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, we don't number our days, do we? You know, we think about birthdays. You know, we really number our years. And I turned, this past December, I turned 41 years old. Now, when I said that, y'all are supposed to, when I say I turned 41 years old, y'all are supposed to go, oh. So let's try that again. This past December, I turned 41 years old. Very good. You're teaching them well here, Brother Grant. But we do. We count our years. And we don't count our days. It's unusual to do that. But in reality, we should focus on our days. God wants us to number them, to focus. What does the Bible say in Matthew 6:11? Jesus is praying there, and he says, and teaches us to pray, and he says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. God has ordained that the entire universe functions one day at a time. And it's interesting here that God, in His Word, He shows us that this is a learned process because it's unnatural for us to think and number our days. So we have to have God teach us these things. It's almost like when the Apostle Paul said, for I've learned whatever state I'm therewith to be content. He had to learn that behavior, trusting in God. He had to learn to be content with the Lord. And here we see that God is going to have to teach us to number our days. So why should we number our days? Well, I think most importantly, you don't need to turn there, but I'll read in James chapter 4. Think about this. The Bible says, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what is you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, we need to number our days, most importantly, because we need to understand that life is but a vapor. I mean, I don't cook. Trust me, you don't want me to cook. But I've seen Debbie and I've seen steam come off that stove, and you see the just vapor just for a split second, then it goes away. And that's what our life is. And God wants us to say, hey, if I'm not saved, today is the day of salvation. You need to understand, you don't know when that your days are going to end. And God wants you to be born again. Why number our days? Why? Because you need to get born again if you're not. I won't take a whole bunch of time sharing this, but as Grant said, I grew up in East Tennessee, and I can remember growing up, we didn't attend church. I had two great parents that tried to bring me up morally right, and they did the best they could. They loved me, and just wonderful, wonderful parents, still are. But I can remember, we didn't ever attend church, didn't read the Bible, and I can remember driving around some of them country roads, and I would see signs that said, Jesus saves. And I can remember growing up, and even to when I turned 22, and I thought, Jesus saves? What does that even mean? Because, see, all I knew about Jesus was that I've seen pictures of him on a cross. I didn't know what that really meant, but I also seen pictures of him when he was a little baby, and I didn't know why that was a big deal. But I'm glad that God began to do something in my life around the first part of 1998. And God began, I didn't know it, but was breaking me. And he was speaking, I didn't know it at the time, but to my heart. And long story short, he led me to a church. And that day I heard a clear presentation of the gospel for the very first time. And God saved me that day and absolutely changed my life and taught me so much and still is teaching me. And that was the greatest day of my life. Why? Because I understood then my need of salvation. I understood how important, vitally important that was that day. We need to number our days because life's a vapor. Do you know? Do you know that you've been born again? That's the most important thing. Do you know? Because you can know. Amen? Jesus, he saves. But I think about this. We need to number our days because if you are saved in here, and I like what Brother Grant said about the fact that pretty much there's two kinds of people in here. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either saved or you're lost. You've never been born again. And that's what we're dealing with. We're all like that. Either we're saved or we're lost. Number our days because we need salvation, but we need to number our days, Christian, because God wants us to serve Him. He wants us to serve Him with our life. His desire is to bring God glory. His desire is conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. We need to number our days, but knowing that God wants us to focus on our days and to number them, there's a great truth when you think about it. That, yes, we need to number and know our days and see how important that is, but it begs the question, okay, I number my days. I see that the days are important, but how do I live each day? How am I supposed to live each day? I'm glad you asked me that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number, we'll read in verse number 5 and 6. Teach us to number our days. To number our days. And that's what I want to preach on just for a few minutes about God's desire for each of our days. God desires these, what we're going to look at in the Word of God, these actions that He wants us to take each day. And I'll talk about this later, but, you know, we're, as Christians, as people in general, we want some formula. That, okay, if I do this, this, and this, you know, then my life will be great. The truth of the matter is, we don't need a formula. We need a relationship with God. And that's what Proverbs chapter 3, in these two verses and a few other ones, are going to teach us. That God, it's not a formula. And I'm afraid that there's so many of the familiar passages of Scripture that we read over without really thinking of the truth that's in them. And this is a verse in verse 5 and 6 that many of you in here know. But have you really thought about what God's trying to teach us? Have you thought about that? There's four daily actions that we need to take to make the most of our days. Number one, very simple, but number one, we need to trust Him. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord, in verse 5, the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Boy, it's just sweet, sweet words there. You know, the Christian life, honestly, is simple. But I'm the one, and you're the one that makes it difficult. You ever thought about that? I mean, honestly, the Christian life is a simple life. We should be feeding our spirit and starving the flesh. We should be more like Christ. We should be moving towards being more like Christ. But we make that so difficult. But God says, no, just come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants us to come to Him. It's not difficult. We make it difficult. We need to trust Him. Trust Him. What does that word trust mean? It means this: total dependent. You're totally dependent upon God. I saw this the other day and I thought it was very good, talking about what it means to trust. We're surrounded by a culture where the desires and rights of an individual are considered the greatest good. Where I could have whatever I want and be whatever I want as long as it doesn't harm others or keep them from their own desires. In these times, it is imperative that Christians have constant reminders of what it means to trust only in God with your whole heart. To trust is to place your confidence only in God. To trust in the Lord means more than believing in who He is and what He says. The word here for trust can only mean, again, to have confidence in. Having confidence in something means having an assurance that leads to an action. Trust in the Lord is a faith. Is a faith that will allow you to serve. It will allow you to serve with confidence. All our knowledge, our wisdom, and will should be saturated in the action producing assurance that God is in control. We need to be totally dependent. Are you totally dependent upon God? You say, oh, I mean, that's too simple. I mean, trust in the Lord, yeah, I do that. Do you really? I ask myself sometimes, do I really? Am I really trusting in the Lord with my life? I think about, the Bible says in the book of James, I believe it is, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God wants us to be single-minded. God wants us to have a mind and a will that's focused upon the Lord. I think of there in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 7, you have two people, they built their foundation or their house upon two different foundations. Of course, one was on the rock where it should be, and the winds came and the storms came and the house stood still. But the other one was built on the sand. And it's interesting because it says, and when the winds came and the rains came, it said, great was the fall of it. Oh, God wants us to build our daily life upon the truth, upon the fact that God is your heavenly Father. He can be depended on. He can be trusted with your life. Are you totally trusting in Him today? Whatever your circumstance in life, are you trusting in him today. Many of you maybe had heard this story about a man named George Blondin. It was in 1859. He was the first man to take a tightrope and walk across the Niagara Falls. 1859. And he did it so many times, he would bring props and things with him. I mean, he one time had something he carried on his back and he carried it across. Another time he had a chair that he would bring out there. I mean, he would carry all these different props. And it was amazing because thousands of people would come out to see him. And man, they would just be lining before the falls went there, and they'd be lining because they wanted to see him. They wanted to see what he would do. And he said, "Do you think I can walk across this?" And everybody was like, "Yes, yes, we know you can. We know you can do it." And the story goes that that day he brought a wheelbarrow out, and he began to push that wheelbarrow in front of the people. And he said, "How many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across?" And they said, "Oh, we believe." But then he said, "I want one of you to get in that wheelbarrow." And of course, nobody did, according to the story. Did they really believe? I tell you this. The Apostle Paul, he believed, didn't he? I love this in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. You can turn there if you'd like. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul was a man that God used greatly in my life. I could understand the Apostle Paul and where he came from and his thoughts and what God was doing in his life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse, let's look at, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number, let's look at verse 12. He's talking about the gospel and he says this, about his ministry in the gospel. He says, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." He's talking about suffering for the gospel's sake. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Now notice these next few words. Paul said this, he said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He said, "I know whom I believe." He didn't say, "I think I know who I believe and I'm almost trusting in him." No, he said, "I know whom I believe," and he said, "I'm persuaded." Boy, I like hearing a man sing or a man preach that's persuaded about some things. And because that's the God wants us to have this faith that is unwavering, that is trusting, that is totally dependent. Paul said, "I'm persuaded that God will do exactly what he said, trusting in the Lord with your whole heart." Paul believed. Be like Paul. Know, and be persuaded that he's able to do exactly what the Bible says. After all, the Bible does teach that God cannot lie. Amen? And it also teaches that God cannot change. Amen? So what's in the Word of God, God didn't lie about. And what's in the Word of God, it hadn't changed. Even though so many things have changed, even in the world in the last 10 years. I'm glad that God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. And it is trustworthy. It is trustworthy. Oh, may God help us to trust in Him. Are you trusting in Him? For He is trustworthy. Trusting in Him. Second action God wants us to take. And Grant had no idea what I was going to preach today. But I knew God was in all of it, and especially when they sung this hymn, and I'll talk about it here in just a second. But we need to trust in Him. Second, we need to stand on the promises of God. Stand on those promises. Look what it says in Proverbs 3. Go back to Proverbs 3 with me in verse 5 again. Oh, this is such a precious passage of Scripture to me. I remember a few years ago going through some struggles and going through some hard times in my life. And I can remember one morning, and it wasn't as God did audibly speak to me, but He, in that still small voice that the Holy Spirit does, and He brought me to these two verses. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Oh, that helps me. It was as if God said, Steve, it's okay to not understand. And I'm here to tell you today, it's okay for you to not understand why something happened in life, why something hasn't happened that you wanted to in life. It's okay to not understand. Not understand. We're not leaning on our own understanding. In other words, we're not depending. If I'm leaning upon this pulpit, I'm depending upon this pulpit to hold me up. No, we don't depend upon our own understanding to get us through life. Maybe you're not like me, but I want to understand everything. Is anybody else like that in here? Yeah, I mean, understand. I just want to understand why this happened, why didn't this happen? I mean, what's going on here? And God says, hey, it's okay for you to not understand. Because, listen, your understanding, my understanding is flawed. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. I hope you can be back, because a psalmist, he lays open his heart. And he lays open how he is truly is feeling, and he's depending upon the way he sees things. But the understanding is flawed. And my understanding, your understanding, it causes fear in life. Think about it with me. It's fear because we let our past failures, to just creep up on us and remind us. Remind us of times we failed or times we were not what we should be for God. Boy, I'm glad that in the book of Romans it says, now therefore is no condemnation. Amen? I mean, there's no condemnation to those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about my past failures. My fear, I start, when I lean on my own understanding, I start thinking about these present uncertainties in life. When I lean on my own understanding, I start being fearful about these future possibilities in life. God doesn't want me to understand. He doesn't want you to understand these things. It's so true. You may have heard this before, but there's 2 days that can take the joy and strength out of today. 2 days. Those 2 days that'll take the joy and strength and everything you have to serve the Lord, those 2 days that'll suck that right out is yesterday and tomorrow. It'll take, when you start thinking about yesterday and you focus on your tomorrows, oh, it's so easy to be fearful. But listen, God doesn't want us to look back. He doesn't want us to look forward, but He wants us to stand on God's promise today and not lean on our own understanding. Oh, may God help us to understand the truth that I don't have to understand everything. Oh, instead of leaning on our own understanding, we're standing on God's promise. Are you depending upon your own understanding? Oh, God is warning you this morning and speaking through me. Listen, it's okay to not understand. It's okay. God just wants you to trust. God just wants you to stand upon His promises, not lean upon your own understanding. Thirdly, not only does He want us to trust Him, not only does He want us to stand on His promise, but I love this. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Then he says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Trusting in the Lord, standing on God's promise. Third, that third action we must take is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge that he is with you. If you're born again, he's with you. He's within you right now through the person of his Holy Spirit. And, the Holy Spirit's so important to our life. And I won't take time to read it, but in John 14, Jesus talks about, I will bring you another comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That word comforter, it means one called alongside to help. That's what the Holy Spirit does for the believer. When you were born again, that moment, God indwelt you with his Holy Spirit. Oh, I praise God for that. Because with that, I'm able to acknowledge God in every way, every day. Why? Because he will never leave me nor forsake me. He said, if I abide in him, that I'll bear much fruit. It's a matter of acknowledging God, acknowledging God. Think about this passage with me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6. I've thought of these two verses recently. Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation or your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, we shouldn't be all consumed about ourselves. No, we need to be consumed with God and understand that he desires for us to acknowledge him in every step of the way. God just doesn't want to merely meet your emergency. But we treat him like that many times, don't we? That it's almost like a spare tire. No, God wants to be a part of our everyday life. He wants us to acknowledge him in every way. Acknowledge him. Recognize. Call attention. Seek out. Consider. Have respect for God. Acknowledge him. I think of this one verse. The best way we can acknowledge him is simply, I believe this is a very important way, is that the Bible says in the book of James, we shouldn't be hearers only of the word of God. But what does it say? We should do what? We should be doers. Oh, God, help us. How do I acknowledge God today, preacher? You acknowledge God by trying in the Holy Spirit's power to do what his word says. That's acknowledging God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not, stand on God's promise. Don't lean on your own understanding. You need to acknowledge God's constant presence. And fourth, I love this. Yes, trusting, standing, acknowledging. But the fourth thing you need to do is rest. Rest in God's plan and God's provision. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Boy, I like that. That brought me so much freedom when those two verses didn't just become ink upon a page, but it became a reality that God said, hey, I want you to trust me. I will direct your paths. I just want you to trust me. I want you to trust my promises, and I want you to acknowledge me. You do those things, I'm going to direct you every step of the way. And how we need that. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. No, God wants to direct you. He wants to direct you. And I just praise God that he desires and he promises that He will direct us. As I said, it brought me great freedom and liberty when I realized that I don't have to be the one that's in control. I don't have to make things happen. I just need to follow God and trust Him and know that I can't, but God can. Here's what I say and you say compared to what God says. I say, you say, it's impossible. Whatever the circumstance is, it's impossible. God says all things are possible. These things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You say, I'm just too tired. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. You may feel, man, nobody really loves me. Nobody loves me. Oh, I praise God. For God so loved the world, that means He loves you and He knows you. You say, I just can't go on. I can't go on each day. You say that, I say that. Oh, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Oh, His grace is sufficient. You say, I just can't figure things out. You don't have to, because God said, just as we read, that He will direct your steps. I can't figure it out, God. God says, good, just trust me. Leave it up to me. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through me. He says, you can do all things through me. You say, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them are called according to His purpose. You say it's not worth it. God says it is worth it. You say, I can't forgive myself. Do you know that I can't forgive myself? It's nowhere in the Bible.
Come on, preach that.
Let me help somebody today, because this helped me years ago. I'm not to forgive myself. I'm to trust that God, through Christ, has forgiven me.
Amen.
And move forward day by day. You say, I can't forgive myself. Oh, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't forgive myself. Listen, God can forgive you. You say, I just can't manage. I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You say, I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I'm just eaten up with so much care in my life and worries. Oh, God says, hey, cast all your care upon me. Why? Because I care about you. I love you. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says in the book of James, He will give you wisdom. You say, I feel all alone. You may feel like that, but I'm here to assure you that Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't have to be alone. So I ask you, are you saying, but God, I'm here to tell you, if you're asking that, God's saying, I have the answer for you. He's saying, trust in me with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding in life. He's saying, hey, stand on God's promise. Acknowledge me today. And I, God says, will direct your paths. Ain't that beautiful? Again, we're not asking for a formula. No. God wants us to ask for this relationship. And every day, I want you to ask yourself, am I trusting in Him? Am I standing on God's promise? Am I acknowledging Him? Am I resting in Him? Because that's exactly what God wants for you. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the truth that's in your word. God, I pray that, Lord, if someone is here today, God, that does not know that they've been born again, Lord, I pray that this day they will see the need of salvation, God, and come forward to me or Brother Grant or another person in this church. And God, they want to see and feel this forgiveness, God, that you give us through the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be born again. God, help that person today if there's one here. Lord, there's people in here that aren't totally trusting you, but they're leaning upon their own understanding. They're not acknowledging you. God, I pray, Lord, you know their heart. Lord, I pray, God, you help them. Right now, God, you help them to do these things. God, help them, please, Lord, as you've helped me in the past. God, I pray that you just bless this time now. Lord, I ask, God, that you would help us to search our hearts. I'm going to ask, keep your head bowed and your eyes closed with me, if you will. I'm going to ask one of the ladies to come to the piano, please. She's already there. Wonderful. And if you'll play softly, play a hymn for us. And I want you to, with your heads bowed there, I want you to, as she begins to play, I want you to ask, am I born again? But I also want you to ask, am I trusting? Am I standing? Am I acknowledging? And am I resting?